Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 1 through 20, all of Matthew chapter 28. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides, directs us, molds us, shapes us, and helps us to know your will and to walk it out. Thank you for the wisdom and the insight found in Matthew 28, which contains the Great Commission. Lord, open the eyes and the hearts and the understanding of every single listener to recognize in a much greater and more productive way that all of us are called to carry out this very important work of going into all the world and making disciples. Help us to discern exactly what all that means in our lives and how we would clearly and faithfully live that out, and help us to do just that, to faithfully walk out this command in our lives. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we come to you today and we bring our nation to you. Father, so much going on that we know that is against your commands, is against your way of living. God, we pray for mercy for our nation. We pray that revival would sweep across our land. Father, we know that our only hope is in you. So we bring our nation to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. And let me say at the outset, again, I continue to share my email. It's jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we're continuing to hear from a number of our listeners who are asking for some of the articles that we've shared. Let me say this too. We're glad to share some of the discipleship resources that we provide, the prayer and discipleship resources. One of our goals is the articles or items that we share are tools for you to use in your life as an individual believer, but also tools for you to use in discipling your family. But in addition to that, we want to encourage you, forward them to other believers and persons that you may know, maybe family members, it might be fellow church members, but the fact is everyone can use help in their prayer life. Everyone can use help in their walk with the Lord and their understanding of how to live the life of a faithful disciple. All of us can use strength and encouragement, and that's what these resources are for, to strengthen you, but also for you in turn to help strengthen others as well. I hope that you'll do just that. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. Again, evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. And let me say this very clearly, as believers, it's critical that we understand God gives us guidance, counsel, and direction in His Word. God's Word contains many commands. And it's important for us to understand we're to be obedient to God's Word in spite of what we might see around us. In our humanness, often we take our cues from those around us. And if we don't see others doing certain things, very often we will somehow or another conclude that this must not be important because people aren't talking about it or people aren't doing it very much. Well, the reality is, it's important to understand throughout the history of the church, right up until today, God has not called us to do what we see our peers doing. He's called us to obey His Word and His Spirit. And we're called to courageously and faithfully obey His Word and His Spirit. And as we look at the topic specifically of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission, remember this. The Great Commission is those verses I read just a few moments ago. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, verses 18 through 20, says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Again, God's great commission to every believer is go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's an important, very important command found in the Word of God. All of us are to be involved in the important work of the sharing of the gospel and helping others to grow up and grow strong. We're called to go and make disciples. That involves sharing the gospel and helping people to begin to mature and grow strong in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have a responsibility there. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, the wonderful privilege and opportunity you give us of being involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to recognize there's great joy, great mercy, great grace, and great blessing found in living a life where we share the gospel as we go. And help others to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And also that we're to be involved in the work of helping, teaching, and guiding others to begin to grow up and to grow strong in their walk and their faith with the Lord. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that you wouldn't call us to do something that we cannot do. But you do call us to do things we cannot do in our own strength, our own wisdom, and in our own grace. Help us to be faithful to move in the power of your Holy Spirit, to look to the Holy Spirit for guidance, for direction, for empowerment. But help us to be an obedient people who are faithfully doing what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking at the topic of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. And let me say this too, we've mentioned before, but we continue to offer, if you'd like to get some of the gospel tract bookmarks that we provide, simply email me and send me your mailing address and let us know that you'd like to receive some. These are great evangelism tools, gospel tracts, but also whether you get the kind that we're offering here or if you just order some or purchase some, I would encourage and challenge every listener, buy gospel tracts, keep them with you everywhere you go, wherever you might go, because the fact is there are opportunities all over the place for us to be able to give away gospel tracts and thus plant seeds. You know, on some days we plant the seed of the gospel, some days we water it. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you give a gospel tract to someone, sometimes it may be someone who's never heard the gospel before. But on the other hand, sometimes it might be someone who's heard it before. But when you give them that gospel tract, it reminds them that they need to give serious thought and consideration to this important opportunity to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And it could be that many others have planted seed in that same person that you give a gospel tract to. And you might be the person that the Holy Spirit uses through your action to help that person step over the line to make that decision. So the fact is, all of us as believers are to be vessels and ambassadors for the kingdom of God, vessels through which the Holy Spirit can work. And remember this, the work of evangelism and discipleship is a work of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The fact is, you and I, we can't save anybody. God has to save people, and He draws them by His Holy Spirit. We're vessels and instruments God reaches through to touch and draw others. So every day is an important and a helpful day for us to know that we're to seek to be used of God, to be ambassadors for His kingdom, sharing the gospel, again, giving out a gospel tract. It may involve you sharing your testimony of how you got saved in a given context, how you came to know the Lord. It may be you sharing about unanswered prayer, a way, an instance when God heard and answered a prayer of yours. Sometimes you may get the chance to witness by simply asking someone, how can I pray for you today? Is there anything I can pray for you about today? And very often, people will both appreciate the fact that you asked, and it opens their heart to begin to share maybe some of the challenges they're facing in their life, and often will lead to an opportunity to share the gospel. Now, many a believer will say, well, I'm shy. Talking about my faith is not something I feel good about, or I just don't feel like it's for me to do that. Well, keep in mind, God's word just told us in a command, a clear command, go into all the world and make disciples. That command is to every believer on the planet. Every one of us is to be involved in the work of the sharing of the gospel and the making of disciples. So I would challenge and encourage each of us daily to pray at least maybe specifically a couple different prayers. You know, I think of this, for example, one of the prayer tools we provide is called Kingdom Prayers, and I would encourage you to email me to get this prayer tool. It has 10 biblically based prayers, prayers that are either come straight from Scripture or that are based on Scripture. And specifically, there's a prayer that Isaiah prayed in chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and this prayer is based on the prayer that Isaiah prayed. I'm going to take a moment to pray it, and this is a good prayer for you and I to pray every single day. It simply says this, here I am, Lord. I'm available. Send me this day to do your will. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, that's a good prayer to pray, and again, that's a good prayer to pray with the understanding that one of your goals is to be used of the Lord to help someone to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Another wise prayer to pray is a prayer along this line as well. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share your gospel. Use me today, Lord, to help at least 6 people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, it doesn't take but a moment to pray a prayer like that. But do you know what? God is looking for believers who will pray like that, because understand this, that's not hard for the Holy Spirit. God has plenty of people that need to be saved, but He doesn't have enough children asking to be used by Him to be used to help others to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Be a vessel through which God can work. He has much work for all of us to do. And the fact is, so many people in this world don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They're struggling through life and desperately need the salvation that only Jesus can give them. You and I need to walk in the love of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus, to be compassionate toward those who are walking through this difficult world without the hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of compassion, a compassion that would cause us to have a longing to be used by you every single day of our lives to help others to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And help us also in turn to have a compassion and a desire to be used by you to help others to begin to grow up and to grow strong in their walk with the Lord, so that they too can become strong disciples who are following Jesus Christ as well. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, Evangelism and Discipleship, Living Out the Great Commission. We'll be right back.
Can I beat this? Can I crack this circle? exhausted all my ways, all my ways, and all the noise begins to fade. It's you, then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you, then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mack, it's you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're continuing to look at the topic today of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. And again, there are a number of resources we would be glad to send to you with the goal of helping to equip you to be a faithful disciple who's also involved in the important work of evangelism and the work of disciple making as well. Once again, I mentioned the prayer tools that we call Kingdom Prayers that has 10 specific prayers that either are drawn from, come straight from, or are based on Scripture. Now, the very first prayer is a salvation prayer. And so I want you to keep in mind this particular prayer tool, the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, is a great evangelism tool. It's something you can email to someone, and if it's someone you know that is considering getting saved or considering salvation or thinking about eternity, well, you could email this prayer tool and ask them that, tell them if they are interested or thinking that they want to give their life to Christ, just pray the first prayer listed on the Kingdom Prayer prayer tool. Well, again, so this, as I said, is a great evangelism tool for that reason alone as well. So be sure and email us to get the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, because again, it is a helpful evangelism resource for you to have, both in email form as well as, of course, you can copy it and carry it with you as well. It's a tool you can give to other people as well. But let them know that if they're desiring or thinking that they want to give their life to Christ, invite them to pray the first prayer listed on the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool. I recall not long ago being in another state in a large city and gave a young man a gospel tract in an elevator, and just felt impressed to the Lord to ask him. And so I asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" And the young man, he looked at the tract and then he looked up and he said, "I've been looking for him." And I had the chance to have a really fruitful conversation with the young man. And he didn't say he wanted to pray and receive Christ right there, but he said, "Before I lay down tonight, I'm going to pray this prayer." We know the reality is there are lots of people that are ripe for the gospel all around us. Many people that are ready to get saved, but it's important that we as believers are on the job, because there are many people in your life. Some people you and I will see once in a lifetime. Our paths will cross one single time. And so our job is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to be a vessel God can use. Now, keep in mind, there are a number of different ways the Holy Spirit may use us, but the key is we're to be available vessels that God will use each and every day. One of the ways to help equip yourself as a vessel God can use to do the work of evangelism every day is by, for example, if you were to get the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, it's a great tool to pray through each day, and a number of the prayers will help equip you to be more evangelism-minded as well. Well, let me say this too. I just mentioned the prayer a few moments ago, the prayer Isaiah prayed. Basically, he was saying, "Lord, here I am. I'm available. Send me this day to do your will." Well, again, that's a great prayer to pray daily if you want God to use you both to do the work of evangelism or to reach out in love to help people around us. Also listed in that same tool is the prayer of Jabez. Let's take a moment to pray that as well. "Lord, bless me indeed, expand my territory, place your hand anew upon me, and keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen." Again, a prayer based on 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, the prayer of Jabez. That too is a good prayer to pray each day, because God is looking for believers who will pray that way, because he wants to use us each and every day. And that's a prayer where we're simply asking God to do just that. Another wise and fruitful prayer would be that God would use us in a supernatural way to plant seeds as well. A prayer such as this one: Lord, thank you for today. Somehow or another, use me to touch 1,000 people for the building of your kingdom with the gospel. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now you might think, well, that sounds like an impossible prayer. Well, you know what? We serve a God that can do the impossible. If you ask him, again, no prayer worries God. He doesn't worry. In fact, he may say, well, I'm glad you asked. And he'll show you. It may be something you place on social media that touches 1,000 or more people. It might be a seed that he uses that you share that may help 1,000 or more people get saved. Pray impossible prayers every day, because remember, we serve a God that can do the impossible. But ask God for big things, because he's looking for believers that will pray that way. It's important that we recognize that it's serious. It's very, very serious that we live in a world where people are dying at a very high rate today. On average, all over the world, approximately 3 people die every second. Approximately 180 people die all over the world every minute. Every hour in a 24-hour day, every hour, on average, around 11,000 people die. And all over the world, an average number of people that die all over this big earth, all over the world, is 250,000 people. 250,000 people on average die every single day. Brothers and sisters, that's a lot of dying. And you know, when they die, the only thing that matters is, did they know Jesus? It's not important if they were rich or poor, not important if they were Hispanic, black, white, Asian. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if they were famous or not very well known. It doesn't matter if they lived in a mansion or if they were homeless. It doesn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat. The only thing that matters is, did they know Jesus? Nothing else matters. And that would be true today. It'd be true 1,000,000 years from now. The only thing that matters when a person dies, did they know Jesus? So we must take this work very, very serious. I want to read for you from the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, a powerful story about the importance of evangelism and discipleship, and why, one of the reasons why it's so important for us to do our work. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Again, verses 19 to 31, Luke chapter 16. Now here we have a very powerful story that Jesus shares. And keep in mind, Jesus basically lets us know that this is a true story. Now you might say, well, how did Jesus get a snapshot from from heaven and hell. Well, remember, Jesus is the Son of God. He's God. He could do that. But he tells the story of two human beings that actually lived, and they both died. Well, the rich man was a rich individual who was a businessman. Apparently, he lived a fancy life while he was alive, but didn't bother with getting to know Jesus. And he died and went to hell, sadly. And there was a poor man named Lazarus who he didn't have much, and he lived a very poor and tragic life, but he did know Jesus. And so when the rich man died, sadly, he went straight to hell. And when the poor man died, he went to heaven. Again, remember, he didn't have much, but he knew Jesus. And so the rich man is in hell in torment, in so much torment that the first request that he makes of Father Abraham, who he was able to look up and see in the place of comfort, he asked for just a tip of water, just a little, just to get a little bit of relief from the extreme heat and pain of the fires of hell. And the sad reality is, even though he asked for just a little drip of water, he couldn't even get one little drip. Now, the fact is, hell is one of those topics that we just don't like to talk about. We don't like to think about it. We don't like the idea of even considering what it is. But the reality is, when every human being dies, everyone either goes to heaven or hell. And the tragedy is, the vast majority of people that die go to hell. The vast majority of people that will die in the next 24 hours, sadly, will go to hell. That truth all by itself should motivate every believer to recognize how serious it is for us to be involved in the work of the sharing of the gospel. Because the fact is, you don't want to wish hell on your worst enemy because it's such a tragic reality. Well, the man couldn't even get a little drip of water, but notice his second request. His second request is powerful and profound. It's simple, but powerful and profound. He asks that Lazarus could go back and proclaim the good news of the gospel to his five brothers, because he realized hell was so terrible, he would never want people that he loved and cared about to come to this terrible place called hell. But sadly, the rich man finds out that he can't do that either. Even though he's very evangelism-minded now in hell, but there's nothing he can do about it now that he's come to this terrible place of torment called hell. Now, Lazarus, of course, is in a wonderful place. Even though his life was tough and hard, he's in a place of comfort and grace and blessing, and he has no more problems anymore, because heaven is a place where there are no problems. How critical it is that we make it our goal. Number one, be sure that you get saved, that you're saved yourself. Don't leave it in doubt in any capacity. Be sure you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you're following him. But then once you're saved and fully living a life for Christ, do your job to be a vessel God can use to help all your family and loved ones get saved. Be used of God to help your co-workers get saved and all the people you know. Make it your goal to be a bright, shining witness for Jesus Christ every day, because it should be our goal not only to go to heaven, and not only to take our whole families with us to heaven, we should want to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to be vessels you can use to help people to be pulled off the road on the way to hell onto the road on the way to heaven. Lord, stir us afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Empower us to be people who passionately live out the work of sharing the gospel and making disciples fully in the way you would have us to every single day, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the work of the church is the most serious work in all of the world, and that every single believer has a responsibility to help carry out this critically important work. Help us to know, Lord, that every day we have a testimony that we can share. Every day we're able to give out gospel tracts and invite people to come to know Christ. Help us to know that every day our job is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in the work of evangelism and discipleship. Lord, help us to be about your business every single day. And help us to know, Lord, that in the economy of eternity, and in the economy of time, no day is a day to be wasted. That no believer has any time to waste, because every day is critical. People are dying at such a high rate. and we're simply to maximize the moments of our lives to use to point people to Jesus Christ and help them grow up. Lord, help us to become highly skilled in the power of your Holy Spirit, to be able to share the gospel, and highly skilled at the work of discipleship, encouraging others in their prayer life, encouraging others in their life of reading and studying your word, encouraging them in the life of obeying what they learn. Help us to discern and look for opportunities everywhere we go to be vessels through which your Holy Spirit can reach, to touch people, to draw them to yourself, and to help them to grow up. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that we can live in such a way that your Holy Spirit can literally help move every person we come in contact with closer to you than when we found them, as we're simply available vessels for your Holy Spirit to use. Help us to live available lives every day of our life. Thank you for the chance to be used in that way, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're looking today at the topic specifically of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. All of us have a responsibility here, and it's important that we take our responsibility very, very serious. Again, no day is a day to be wasted in carrying out that which the Lord Jesus has called us to do. Let's be faithful. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, if you'd like to receive any of the prayer and discipleship resources we provide, we'll be right back. Music of Lincoln Brewster, Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. And keep in mind, one of our wise prayer for us to pray on a daily basis is that the Lord would use us literally every day to do the work of sharing the gospel, loving people enough to share the gospel with them, loving them enough to help and encourage them in their faith and their walk with the Lord. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. And for any of the articles that we talk about or share, if you'd like to receive one of them, simply email us. We'll be glad to share them with you. I want to remind you that the work of discipleship, again, involves us understanding some basic building blocks of discipleship and us living them out, and teaching other believers to live them out as well. What are those basic building blocks? Well, you know, you can summarize every part of the life of the work of discipleship in three words. And I think this is a very helpful tool to understand. The word pro summarizes the different aspects of the life of every disciple. P referring to our prayer life, R referring to our life of reading and studying and meditating on the word, O referring to our obedience. The three letters of the word pro, P-R-O, our prayer life, our reading and studying of his word, and our obedience. So we as believers, we're to live and have an active prayer life. We're to have a faithful life of reading and studying the word, and we're to obey what we learn. We're to live that, and we should teach that as well. So our job should be to live as faithful prayer warriors, faithful believers who are daily reading and studying God's Word and faithfully living out our faith. But also, we should actively teach other believers that these are three critical building blocks in their own Christian life. Sadly, some believers are not taught the importance of establishing a faithful prayer life. You know, we're wise to establish spiritual disciplines around each of these areas of our lives. The spiritual discipline of praying every day, the spiritual discipline of reading the Word every day, the spiritual discipline of obeying what we learn. Again, we're to live it, but we're to teach other believers that as well. Too many believers haven't been taught the importance of being believers who have a committed prayer life. They haven't been taught the importance of daily reading God's Word. And of course, I like to challenge believers of setting the goal of reading like 3 chapters a day. That's a good basic spiritual meal. But many believers have never been taught that they should be reading their Bibles every day. And obedience. Many a believer have never been taught the critical importance of both reading God's Word and obeying it as well. There are too many areas in our lives where believers, they might read, but sometimes they're not really trying to apply. God's Word is never meant to be only learned as in learning the truths of it. God's Word is meant to be applied as well. I want to share now an article that I wrote entitled, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. And it too is an evangelism tool as well. Again, the article is entitled, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Then in Luke 16, 27 and 28, it says, Then the rich man said, Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have 5 brothers and I want him to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment. Luke 16, 27 through 28. The following are 2 letters sent as if these 2 young men had the unique opportunity to send a letter back to their living parents after their lives ended. Dear Dad and Mom, it's me, Jack, and I just wanted to share my experience after life ended on earth for me. After I took my last breath, lying on that hospital bed, I felt myself rise up. I saw you both as you started to cry. I wanted so much to comfort you and tell you that all of a sudden, I didn't hurt anymore. I wanted to let you know that I felt fine. But as I stood up, I noticed that my body was still lying on the bed and not moving. But I felt great. I was completely healed and well. All of a sudden, 2 very tall, beautiful angels walked into the room. Each one took me by the arm and whisked me away. We went right through the roof of the hospital, flew at an extremely fast speed into the sky and then through space. And very quickly, we passed through the gates of heaven. Dad and Mom, I wish you both could see this place. It is so beautiful. I don't have words to describe how beautiful it is. Everything is so bright and pretty. The streets really are made of pure gold. The houses and other buildings are stunning to look at, and everyone here is so happy. The whole place is awesome, bright and glorious. Then very soon, my escorting angels told me, He is coming. As I looked, there walking up to me was Jesus. Oh, he was so gloriously beautiful and wonderful to see. He came up and gave me a big embrace. It felt like I was covered with love and with grace. I'm so thankful to the Lord for saving me. I'm thankful that I committed my life to the Lord and served him when I was alive. Praise God. Suddenly I thought to myself, I wish I had told many more people about Jesus and how to be saved. I wouldn't want anyone to miss him or miss living in this wonderful place called heaven. Love in Christ, Jack. And then the second letter. Dear Dad and Mom, it's me, Reg. I wanted to let you know about what happened to me after life came to an end for me on earth. After I stopped breathing, I apparently left my body. I tried to talk to the 2 of you, but you couldn't hear anything I was saying to you. I looked at my bed and saw my lifeless body, although I was standing right beside you 2. Then all of a sudden, 2 of the most horrible-looking creatures I've ever seen walked through the walls of the room. They were demons. They quickly walked up to me before I could yell, and they grabbed me. I yelled and asked you both to please help me. Help me get away from these horrible creatures. But you couldn't hear me at all. You stood there and cried. They dragged me as I was kicking and screaming at them to let me go. But they wouldn't let me go. They said, come with us. You belong to us now. A huge hole appeared out of nowhere in the floor, and they dragged me down into that hole. I cried out, screamed, and yelled as loud as I could, let me go! And they just laughed at me and kept pulling me down the hole. The hole was a dark tunnel, dark, so dark. They kept pulling me down. The deeper we went, the hotter it became. Finally, we reached the bottom. I felt like I was being scalded all over my body. I was burning on every inch of my being. The demons grabbed my wrists and clamped chains on them. They threw me into some kind of cell. It was so hot, and the whole place smelled awful, a stench much worse than anything I'd ever smelled on earth. I was in unbearable pain and agony from the extreme heat and pain all over my body. I said, please, I don't want to be here. Let me out. The demons laughed at me and walked away. In the midst of my agony and pain, I looked through the door of my cell and saw many more prison-like cells, almost just like mine, as far as my eyes could see. And I could hear what seemed like thousands of moans and groans and cries of men and women in agony and despair. Their groans and cries poured from all the cells. I am no longer an atheist. Though I was an atheist most all of my adult life on earth, I now believe there is a God. I believe in God and heaven and hell and all those things preachers used to talk about in church and on TV. I used to make fun of preachers, laugh at them, and call them ignorant fools. Now I realize they were right, every one of them, as they preached the Bible. And I wish now that I had just one more day to be alive, one more day to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I had only one more day, I would listen to the gospel and run to give my life to Christ. But for me, it's just too late. Dad and Mom, please tell all my brothers and sisters, cousins and others, tell all my friends, give your life to Jesus Christ today. Don't wait another day. This place is so terrible, just so awful. Don't come here. Get saved. Don't make the mistake I made. Give your life to Christ this day. Don't come down here. Your son, Reg. If you desire to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you can spend eternity in heaven with Him and avoid spending eternity in hell, you can. If you want to make the step of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life as Lord and Savior, I would invite you to pray this prayer with me right now, if you would. Again, any person listening, if you're not sure if you're saved or if you know you're not saved, today is a good day to get saved. If you would, simply pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I have sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I confess I've sinned, and I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. I do believe that you, Lord Jesus, died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later, you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess and declare I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and gave your life to Jesus, please, please, please get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd very much like to be in touch with you and share with you some resource items that can help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk and your faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me remind our listeners, too, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared, the article was entitled, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. I'd be glad to send it to you. Again, the article is a very fruitful evangelism, a discipleship tool itself as well. We'd be glad to send you the article, and I would encourage you to share it far and wide, because, again, remember, a very true reality is all of us should want to go to heaven, and every single one of us should want to help take as many loved ones and people that we don't even know along with us. But you and I need to both be saved, and we need to be about the work of carrying out the work of evangelism and discipleship, doing what we can to help others come onto the road of salvation and get off the road on the way to hell. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Be glad to send this article. Again, the title, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. Email me and let me know you'd like to get it. But also, if any of the other articles we've shared in the past that you'd like to receive, let us know. Because our goal is to help equip you to be a well-equipped warrior, a well-equipped disciple of Jesus Christ who's daily walking with the Lord and who is also living a life as a vessel of the Holy Spirit that God can reach through to help others come to know Jesus and help others to come to begin to grow up and grow strong in their faith as well. So we're glad to share these resources with you. We hope you will email us, because our goal is to help you and I, for all of us, to be about our Father's business every single day. Once again, the email, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. Again, we hope that you will email us to get any and all the resources, prayer resources, discipleship resources, evangelism resources. Again, the Bible bookmarks, evangelism, discipleship bookmarks. Send us your address and let us know you'd like to receive those as well. Be glad to send them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.